Just 5 minutes after the hour. Welcome into the whole show as we rock and roll on this Thursday. Got the Thursday night special coming up. It's how they get you. Yeah, Bills seem like they should win. They've had some struggles, but it's like an 8 to 9 point spread now. So we'll see. Got that coming up later on. Packed show today. Kevin Lytle from the Colorado one will join me. We'll start looking at CSU and Air Force, a monumental task coming up for the Rams. I'll have Jacob Sermon, the quarterback for the UNC Bears, joining us in the second hour of the show, as well as the lead anchor for the Mountain West Network, Jesse Kurtz, get his thoughts on some pretty significant Mountain West games coming up, Wyoming and Boise State, CSU and Air Force. So some big ones there to talk about. And just a lot, man. We got a lot on the plate. Got the Avs back in action tonight. Got football rolling. The Nuggets back at it tomorrow. It's too long of a break, man. I mean, we had Tuesday's game and several days in between for the Nuggets to start back up. They got Memphis coming up tomorrow night. So we'll talk about all of that going forward. Poll question of the day, the tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Bleacher Report released this chat they had with Tom Brady, and it just got me thinking about quarterbacks. Tom Brady does not really think that any quarterback's ever going to replicate what he did. He said this. Bleacher Report's posting this from his Let's Go podcast. He said, quote, people have to do it for a long time. I did it for a long time. When you look at my career, I was able to do it every year for basically every game. Every game wasn't perfect, but every game was pretty good. If someone does make it as long as I made it, with the degree of success, then I give them a lot of respect. It would be an unbelievable accomplishment for them to do that. Brady holds several records. No fewer than 17 league records between the regular season and playoffs. He's the all-time leader in wins at 251. Completions over 7,700. Attempts over 12,000. Passing yards, 89,214. Passing touchdowns, 649. Oh, and there's 10 Super Bowls that he went to and won 7 of those. Is anybody going to do that? Anybody going to get close to those kind of numbers and Super Bowl achievements? Patrick Mahomes is the first guy we talk about. Has he been to 3 Super Bowls now? And he's won 2. That's tough, man. You know, Draymond Green said in the NBA that dynasties are going away, that we're not going to see that much, you know, as frequent as we used to in the NBA. What about the NFL? Are we going to see a dynasty-type team, a quarterback guy, a guy like Patrick Mahomes that can win that many Super Bowls? That is tough, even for a guy like Mahomes. He's the closest one. But I certainly have my doubts. Do you think that's ever going to be done?
To that level of success, I don't think so. I think with the way the NFL is going and with offenses and the rules and all of that stuff, I think it's just a different league at this point.
Like there's more parity maybe, or?
Yeah, I don't know if you can win the same way that the Patriots did all those years.
Well, yeah, you got to. And I know Mahomes is taken. He restructures his contract and does those kind of things. But Tom Brady really, I mean, was he ever even like the top 3 paid quarterback when you do that? When, you know, when he was at his prime with New England. I mean, there's 2 other guys that have won 4 Super Bowls. It's Terry Bradshaw and Joe Montana. Troy Aikman won 3. Patrick Mahomes is at 2. Elway had 2. You had a lot of guys that had 2. Staubach, Starr, Big Ben, Plunkett, Manning, both Mannings. Bob Greasy won 2. Mahomes has got, what does he have? Does he have 8 years left? I know it's weird we're already talking about that. He's still pretty young. But you got 2 right now. He's going to have to be in the Super Bowl most of his career now. If you think about that, he's going to have to be in it to give him a shot. Now, they might do it this year. If he does it this year, then you get a little bit closer. But I think Tom Brady's right. I mean, look at all the records the guy has. He leads in everything. Career passing touchdowns, 649. Drew Brees is behind him. Completion leader. You know, the list goes on and on just of the individual stats, which those might have a better chance of breaking those than you would going to the actual Super Bowls. Because the numbers, the offenses, the way that we're rolling now when we see high-powered offenses and great quarterbacks. I just think, Angel, it's more spread out now. We had that conversation about 4 weeks ago about teams in the NFL that think they have their guy at quarterback. We determined that it was all but like five or six teams feel good about their future quarterback situation. When Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Peyton Manning were rolling, I don't think we were seeing that many good to maybe great, potentially great quarterbacks. This year alone, when you just look around the league, even with struggling teams, you still feel like, okay, well, maybe this isn't going to be their year, but next year they'll get going. I mean, your boy Tua, Kirk Cousins is a stat stuffer. Matt Stafford is a stat stuffer. Josh Allen, I know it's been a weird year for him, but he's still top six in the league in yards. Jalen Hurts, stud. CJ Stroud, I think we're all pretty confident that he's going to turn out to be pretty good. Trevor Lawrence, Desmond Ridder, don't look now. Atlanta's pretty good. Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert. I mean, there's just you could even throw in the guys down the list. Dak Prescott, where does he stack up? And then when you start to look at the years when, you know, Peyton and Tom Brady were in their prime, you go back to like, what, 2008 or so, just kind of looking around at some of the quarterbacks then, you had guys like Drew Brees, Kurt Warner. Jay Cutler's numbers were good. Aaron Rodgers, Rivers, McNabb, Chad Pennington, Brett Favre, Romo was in the league then, Big Ben. Those are good names, but I'm just seeing more and more teams with better quarterback play. And that's probably because of the rules on offense. All those things go into it. But the crop of quarterback play is just better, meaning there's more parity in the league. Suddenly, Lamar Jackson, agree or disagree, he's right there at the top. He's right there in the conversation. The MVP conversation. That was how good of a game he had last week. So when I look at this, I don't think it's achievable, man. I really don't. You really think Patrick Mahomes is going to win five more Super Bowls?
Well, I was just looking at the Super Bowl appearances for Brady. He went in 2002, 2004, and 2005, won all three of those. Didn't go back to the Super Bowl until 2008, and they lost. 4 years later, they got back and lost in 2012. And then they did 2015, 2017, won both of those, lost in 2018, won in 2019.
Yeah.
And obviously 2020.
And you did it for a long time. Here's the other thing to think about, too, Angel, is what are players doing now that they weren't doing in 2008? What is Travis Kelce doing? Podcasts. I mean, they're all doing commercials, but they're doing podcasts. They're doing TV shows. They're doing. They're getting into production companies. They're Myles Garrett. You saw. I know he's not a quarterback, but he's got a piece of an NBA team. You're seeing more players diversify what they do. And where they're setting themselves up to have careers outside of football. And there were only a few of those guys that did that in 2008. Where's Big Ben these days? Do you ever hear from Big Ben? Do you ever hear from Philip Rivers? You got Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Drew Brees, kind of. But nowadays, we're looking at the crop of quarterbacks, and you're seeing more guys that are thinking, okay, I'm going to get a first contract, a rookie contract, second contract, maybe a third, and then I might move on. I might do what an Andrew Luck did and call it quits a little bit earlier than his prime would tell you that he should do. I mean, you look at these guys now, there's so many guys doing different things. Kirk Cousins is even involved, was in that quarterback documentary. Patrick Mahomes. You can't turn on the television without seeing Patrick Mahomes. Matthew Stafford's doing a lot of those things. Josh Allen's doing a lot of those things. Jalen Hurts is doing a lot of those things. You're just going to see more of these guys diversifying what they do as a pro, where I wonder, how many years did Tom play? I mean,
Almost 20 years.
And you got to do it at a pretty high level. And I know it wasn't, like he said, it wasn't every game was perfect. Every year wasn't perfect. But he was always at the top. He was always top five every single year while he's breaking those records and going to all of those Super Bowls. So I agree with him. Some people didn't like that comment, but I mean, again, even if Mahomes just wins seven Super Bowls, is he? Yeah, I guess he's been to three, so that would be 10. If he can win five more, then yeah, he'd be at the seven. But going to 10 is phenomenal too. I think Mahomes is probably the better quarterback. Like, take Mahomes in his prime right now, especially the last two to three years. The guy can do so many different things and still air it out and still has nice touch on the football that maybe he looks better as a quarterback, but the way Brady operated within especially the Patriots system allowed for multiple opportunities at a Super Bowl. Now, again, you look at Travis Kelce and he's not the highest paid tight end in the league. He's up there, but he's not the highest. He's more about, let me stay on this train. I'm a great tight end. I'm going to go down in history as maybe the best, but let me stay on this train and do 4 million commercials and make up for it. That's what he's doing. That's what Rob Gronkowski did. Dude, there's a story about Gronk. He didn't spend any of his actual NFL money for the longest time because he made it all in endorsements. That's what Travis Kelce's doing right now. So you might have a chance. Obviously, Kansas City's really the only one. I don't see any current quarterback right now that would touch that. And that's mainly because Mahomes got off to such a fast start. But every single year, if he doesn't do it this year, if Mahomes doesn't do it this year, then again, that the idea of reaching that level just decreases with every year. So it is tough to do that. So that's my tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Will we ever see another NFL QB replicate Tom Brady's success? And I'm going to say no. I think Mahomes will get close. I would say, like, if you were just to take a guess, Mahomes, when he retires, how many Super Bowls do you think he'll have?
Four.
You go four? Then there you go. Because there's nobody else that's touching that. Because you got to do it early. You have to be the guy almost instantly. And then you have to be such a guy that you're winning instantly. Tom Brady won so early. He won those first three, like you said, right off the bat. Just as a young quarterback. So you get the first three out of the way. So I think there's a few things that do take hold here in this conversation. You got to do it quickly. You can't be, you know, a guy that's like your boy Tua. Could turn out and win maybe two or three Super Bowls before it's all said and done. But it took him a while. It took him just a couple of years to get going. It didn't take Tom Brady that. Mahomes got after it quickly. You know, once his first full season, weren't they? They were in the AFC Championship. His first full season, second season in the NFL. And then the next year, they were in the Super Bowl. So you got to get going early. You got to be ready to play 20 years. And I don't know if a lot of these guys are going to do that. You know, you win a few here or there. Like, Mahomes has already put together a Hall of Fame career. He wins another one. What's that hunger look like to stay in the league for as long as Tommy Bones did it? All right, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly. That's our theme kind of today. If you guys want to go vote at thewholeshow.com, we'll talk about it later on in the program. The good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me, I am just loving. I don't care what people say, Angel. I love Nikola Jokic, but they all say, oh, that's the only reason I watch the NBA. Watch some of these games. Last night, the Mavericks Spurs game, that was a lot of fun. That Spurs crowd was into it, and I get it. Wimby's the man. Wimby struggled for a bit, got in foul trouble, but he blocked a shot from the free throw line. He blocked a three-pointer from the free throw line extended. That guy, I don't know, man. He could be pretty damn good. Woj said that he already looks like he has the makings to be better than LeBron James. I know, that's high praise. We're getting our we're getting ahead of ourselves a bit, but he had 15 points in that game, and a lot of those came in the fourth quarter. He was good. Dallas gets the win, though, and it was their rookie that stole the show first. It was Derek Lively, had 22 points, 6 assists. He was everywhere. What a great, great for him. Excuse me, he had 16 points. One assist. I was looking at the wrong stat line, but he had a double-double. 16 points, 10 boards, 7 of 8 in his rookie debut. Angel, I'm going to say it. I think Dallas is going to be a problem. Dallas is going to be good. Keeping Kyrie Irving at bay will be a challenge for sure. But he had 22 points last night. He was 1 of 8 from 3-point line, but he hit one critical one. And Luka Doncic, wow. He's got a beard now, or he's got a mustache now. Same Luka, maybe better. 33 points for him, 13 rebounds, and 10 assists. Triple-double night for Luka. That's the good, was just watching some of these games last night, especially that one. That was a fun one. I do think Wimby's going to bring a lot of excitement to San Antonio. The bad for me, you heard, this Jim Phillips, the commissioner for the ACC, just talking about the realignment, said, I'm pretty confident in the league and all the stuff we went through the last few months, but I'm still a little worried. He said the league is healthy, but at the end of the day, you're always looking over your shoulder. And I think that just the bad is just that even though we're well into the season now, we're at the end of the season, that is still going to be just a major concern that there's going to be more realignment talk as we go. The ugly for me, how about the Chicago Bulls? They get absolutely annihilated, 124-104 last night against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Watch out for the Thunder, young upcoming team. The Bulls had a team meeting before their head coach, Billy Donovan, could come in and talk to him. And Billy basically walked in, and they're like, we're already in the middle of a discussion, coach. Can you give us the room? After one game, Zach LaVine, Bulls guard, said, guys want to win. You put up a game like this in game one, you're going to have some conversations. Guys are frustrated, and you should be. It's a good thing, but sucks that it happened in game one. It happened, and we got to go from there. This is a terrible look to do this. I was on with Tanner and Brian, or Good Morning NoCo, and they asked the question of, am I okay with player-only meetings? I've always been a little weird about those. I'm good with a team meeting if the team captain or whoever your leader of the team is comes up to the coach and says, hey, I'd like to organize a conversation with the team. Here's some of the things I'd like to go over just as a player. It's not about you, coach. It's about us. I'm okay with it then, but a surprise little team meeting and then you walk in and they're like, no, hold on. Shut the door. That's a problem. That's a major problem. If you're Chicago, I mean, this is a terrible start. If you're the Chicago Bulls, if I'm Billy Donovan, oof, I'm freaked out about this. Donovan stopped short of calling the postgame locker room session a team meeting, but he knew it is what it is. He said, I'm not going to sit there and say that it was bad, like people were tearing up the locker room. It was nothing like that. They were in there talking. I walked in and they said, hey, coach, can we talk? I said, sure, and I left. Should he have left?
I mean, let him talk, okay? 2 minutes, I'll be right back.
No way. It's my locker room. It's my postgame.
It's your players. It's your team.
Yeah, but they're telling you to leave. They're your players. They're your team.
Need a minute? All right.
No.
Be right back.
He lost him. You walk into the locker room and your players turn to you and tell you to leave so they can finish a meeting. You have lost your basketball team. And if I'm a GM of that team, if I'm the ownership, man, I'm like, take your team by the horns here. You're the man. Can you imagine? Now, again, if you have a team captain coming up to Billy Donovan and saying, hey, we got to talk. I got to talk to the team. I got to sit down and talk to these guys. We want to air some frustrations out. That was a terrible blowout. Can you give us 5 minutes? But instead to just, we're telling you to leave. We've already organized the team meeting. We're in the middle of a discussion. Please leave the room. bad look. 25 after the hour. Kevin Lytle coming up at the bottom. Talk CSU Air Force. What are the Rams doing to prepare for the Falcons? Is there any real way to prepare for the undefeated Air Force Falcons? We'll talk about it coming up soon. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Have Friday night plans? We do. KFKA's Game of the Week, presented by A1 Organics.
This is Kristen Mateo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Let me go through a couple of texts here. Flying Dutchman, another Sunbelt release. Take Georgia State tonight. They're probably the main obstacle between a James Madison undefeated season and co-national championship. Georgia State and Georgia Southern tonight. So, thanks for the heads up. I know that game was on your watch list tonight, Angel. That's going to be one of your tops. You'll be paying attention to that bad boy.
I'll turn the score updates on.
Yeah, you got to know. I mean, it's 5-2 Georgia Southern and 6-1 Georgia State.
5 o'clock is booking up very quickly.
Well, what's going on at 5?
The Avs play tonight at 5.
Avs play at 5. Shortly after that, you got Bills and Bucks.
Mm-hmm. Might catch a little NBA action. No, the Bucks play tonight, so Damian Lillard's debut.
Yeah. Get to see Freak Time. Is that what they're calling it? Freak Time.
That's gross.
Dame doesn't like it. That is kind of weird.
I don't know if he fits.
I don't like that nickname.
He just fit in Portland, and I don't know if he fits the Milwaukee fan base.
Can he fit with another mega superstar? That'll be the question.
Oh, he didn't fit with CJ McCollum?
Nah, not a mega superstar.
Yusuf Nurkic?
Not a mega superstar.
They had one other guy on that team. I can't remember. Like the 2018 Trailblazers that beat the Nuggets.
Oh, come on. I don't know. You're going to say it, and it's going to drive me insane. Eastside Chris says, Brady, I've always wondered, had Bill B thrown Brady to the Wolves from game one and he got annihilated, would Tommy Boy be what he is now? Yeah, I think so. I think Tom was just one of those guys. Who's the other Portland guy? Why can't I think of that? Who else? I know
Myers,
Dame,
Leonard.
CJ. No.
They had Yusuf Nurkic at that point. Anthony Simons. Gary Trent Jr. Enes Kanter.
Yeah.
Rodney Hood.
Yeah, Rodney Hood was the one I was thinking about.
Maurice,
he was okay.
Harkless. And Seth Curry.
I feel like Rodney Hood had a really good playoff series in that series. 32 minutes after the hour. We got Kevin Lytle coming up next. What are the Rams doing to prepare for Air Force? We'll talk to Kevin next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
What's up, guys? It's Jack Howell, safety for the Green and Gold. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just 36 minutes after the hour. Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and big task coming up for the Rams this weekend. It got a little bigger, I think, with this weather. Sets up for an Air Force kind of day, although at 7-0, it feels like every weekend is an Air Force kind of day. Kevin, what are the Rams doing to prepare for this Falcons run game that seems like it's better than ever?
Yeah, every year, that's the task, isn't it, of how do you prepare for an option that obviously no one else runs. So it's not like your team, you know, it's one thing preparing for Boise State or something like that. Obviously, they have a lot of, you know, challenges they create, but you can kind of mimic them in practice because it's not too dissimilar from what you run. Air Force is a whole different beast, and it's always a huge task and hard task for it to put together, and obviously the reason shows.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And so what you're looking to try to do, we're talking about, you know, being able to replicate what Air Force does in practice. You have to give them looks. Loved your story in the Coloradoan today about a walk-on quarterback trying to really help this team prepare for Air Force.
Yeah, it's always fun Air Force Week. I like, kind of check in who's running scout team quarterback because, again, a normal week, a Boise or whatever, you just, want your deep on the depth chart quarterbacks run scout. And it's usually Brig Hartson. But sometimes Air Force Week, I've seen teams that have, like a safety that doesn't play, but his high school ran the option. He kind of played both ways and did it. I've seen that type of thing. I've seen, put a running back there as the, pseudo quarterback, all sorts of different things. But Brig Hartson, the guy from, just down the road at Roosevelt, has been running it. He said he ran some similar concepts in high school, and, he said he remembered scouting against Meade, and Meade ran some similar concepts. So it's not totally foreign, but it's really fascinating. He was saying that after every practice, they'll go and watch the reps they just did as scout team and mirror it with Air Force plays to see if they're getting, angles right, timing right, all those type of things. So it's a really detailed process, and some fans will never see, but it's a huge part of the preparation.
I absolutely love that you put this story together, Kevin, because, you don't think about that. When a team wins or loses on Saturday, not a lot of people are thinking of, man, that scout team must have gave them some great looks in the week. Yep. Coaches will say it and think about it, but most fans are like, yeah, whatever. But especially in this case, if the Rams do something crazy and beat Air Force, then, thanks to your article, I think that's going to highlight what it really took to beat the Falcons.
Yeah, it's such an unglorious job. You look at Brig Hartson, he's a walk-on from Roosevelt. I think he works a couple jobs. You maybe have seen him at Shields. He works at Shields. It truly is, almost like a Rudy type story, except, Brig puts all this work in and he knows he's not going to be on the field Saturday. He's not under any, delusions of grandeur that, if Brain Fowler Nicolosi comes in, they're going to call his number. He's number six on the depth chart at quarterback. Heck, he might be number seven behind Torrey Horton. he's a guy that knows he won't play, but just loves being part of it. He loves doing all the different scout. He said he's been basically every position on the field except offensive line running scout duty. So a guy that just puts in all this work. And, I think you can make the argument that scout team guys like him actually have more on their plates than the starters. So it's just really, dirty work. Bill Best, one of the assistant coaches, replied to my tweet, said, Brig is one of the most selfless players he has ever seen in his career. So you just love those guys. Every team needs to have them. And hopefully it can kind of shine a light on a guy that's putting in all this work, even though you probably won't see him on the field at all.
Kevin Lytle joining us, Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, who is the most important defensive player for the Rams going into this weekend against Air Force?
That's a great question, a tricky question. I should ask a defensive coach what they would say, but the trick with Air Force is it has to be all of them, because if you stop one part of the option, that's the whole point, is they can kick it out to a different part of the option. Everyone always says that the fullback is the most important. You have to stop that first, so that kind of leads you to your interior linemen. So we're looking at Cam Baratow, Grady Kelly, James Mitchell had some great plays last week, because you have to blow it up from the middle and force them outside. But then obviously once you do that, you need your linebackers and safeties going sideline to sideline. So I guess you would start in the interior, but it really has to be the full unit or they will beat you.
Wyoming scored the most points against Air Force. They scored 27 points in a losing effort, but 34-27, save for maybe that Sam Houston game. That was, and the Navy game was close too, but I don't think it ever really felt like Navy was going to win that game. But you got to be looking at those two. And I asked Jack this earlier this week, Jack Howell, and it's like, how much of the Sam Houston and Wyoming tape do you look at? And, his answer, which I'm sure you already know this, his answer is more like, it's not necessarily who gave him the best game. It's who has a closer or more of a similar style to what we have. That's what we're really looking at. Even if it was bad, we see where they went wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And this is a game where you can almost paralyze yourself a bit if you overthink it. Like, yeah, obviously you have to be detailed in everything. But if you get too worried about it, then you're going to be too slow to react, basically. So it's a really tricky game because it is so unique. And, you know, the thing, obviously everyone, us included, talk about the option, but Air Force's defense leads the nation and is really incredible. And so it really puts pressure on both sides of the ball. I mean, you get about half as many offensive possessions in this game as you do a normal game. So it really highlights CSU's offense, too, of their need to be efficient.
Yeah, it's the thing. We can talk all day about what the defense needs to do to stop Air Force. And, hey, I'll just be honest. I don't know if a lot of people are holding their breath. We've seen teams run kind of all over CSU. We've seen CSU correct it and get better throughout games. But I go back to, like, the Utah Tech game in that first half. They were running it right, you know, right or left. They were finding wide open gaps. I mean, I think you and me could ran through those, Kevin. We could have got a yard or two just falling forward. Then they corrected that, and I get it. But then when you see Air Force, it's like, you can correct it, but then they change it. So you got to really look at the offense. Defensively, that'd be great if you can come up with something and make monster stops. But I think this puts more pressure on the offense. We're gonna need to see four air raid like we've never seen it before.
Yeah, and you can't, you know, the last 2 weeks have been really slow starts. You just can't do that because, again, Jay Norvell keeps saying eight possessions. You get eight possessions against Air Force. Obviously, there can be some fluctuation, but that's probably a pretty good guesstimate. He also says they think they'll need 35 points to win. Okay, well, that's five touchdowns. So if you have eight possessions and need five touchdowns, y'all can do the math. You have to be pretty efficient. You can't start the game with, you know, three and outs or something like that. So you have to start quicker. You have to try and find a way to steal a possession. That's where I wonder, you know, if they're, you know, maybe a fake punt, you know, something like that, or one of those, not fake punts, but where Patty Turner tries to peg it off the back of someone's head as they run downfield, that type of thing. Because you have to find a way to steal possessions. Yeah, if you get down 14-17 early, you know, oh man, Air Force can bleed that clock.
Yeah, they certainly can. They get any kind of whiff of a lead and look out. Just to backtrack a bit, Kevin, looking back on the CSU-UNLV game, had some success running the ball. Van Shield with 90 mm-hmm. yards, Avery Morrow 49 yards and a touchdown. So really solid games there. But still, as you know more than anybody on Twitter, you see the talk about the conservative play call still kind of something that we're looking at with Jay Norvell, with this young quarterback and Braden Fowler-Nicolosi. What are your thoughts on that assessment from certain fans that this offense is still just too conservative?
Yeah, it's, I mean, in some ways it makes me chuckle because I, you know, the first, I don't know, 3-4 weeks of the season, I had everyone yelling about, oh, they have to be better running the ball. And then they have a game where they run it pretty good, and everyone say, why are we running the ball? We have to, you know, we have to throw it. Why are we being so conservative? So turns out that you just can't please a number of fans. But, yeah, there were some calls that I kind of questioned. You know, when CSU was up 10-3 and had the ball inside the 10, they went very cautious, and, you know, it didn't work. So, obviously, it's easy to say, bad call. I think it was probably protecting at that point BFN a few almost interceptions. I'm guessing the mindset was, well, we better make sure we get three. But obviously, when you end up losing a game, unless they get field goal, the difference there is big. You know, getting the first down before the would have been game winning field goal would have been huge because then CSU would have killed the clock and had the last chance. So, yeah, I think it's just an offense that doesn't fully have its footing. They're explosive at times, but they're inconsistent, and some of that, you know, the play calling, whatever, goes into that, of the balance of being aggressive but also trying to negate turnovers. And I think that's where they're trying to find the right balance of, you know, BFN obviously has made some huge plays, but, you know, you look at that Utah State game, way too many turnovers. So they're trying to find that balance. I think they just haven't quite struck it yet. You know, you see plenty of good signs, but, you know, it's not fully there. And, again, I know, you know, fans don't like to hear this because they think it's excuse-making, but, you know, the other team is trying to do stuff, too, and, you know, they create some of those problems on their own, too.
I'm confused about this team, Kevin. I think you would even mention something about, hey, could this season go down as one of those, like, just too many missed opportunities? I mean, say for mm-hmm. that Washington State game, they were in every game. Utah State, I know it looks like they got blown out, but they were up 17-0, and they had opportunities in that fourth quarter against Utah State. That's why I'm so confused about this team. I don't know where to go with them. I could see, crazily enough, I could see maybe CSU put together some points and make this a competitive game against Air Force, but I could also see the other scenario you laid out. If Air Force gets up quickly, they just bleed that clock out, and it's like 17-3.
Yeah, totally. I think that's what this team is. You know, you can, like you mentioned, I kind of wrote, you can, in an alternate universe, think of how this team only has one or two losses, you know, without being crazy. But you could also think of a way they only have one or two wins without being, you know, too crazy. And that's kind of what they are. I think they're really, I think the phrase I used on Twitter is, there's a lot of good and bad all mixed in a blender. You know, if you want to sit here and yell and say this team is terrible, and that's, you know, that's just inaccurate. The eye test tells you this is a more talented team with more potential than any CSU team we've seen since, you know, maybe 2017. But you can also sit there with the eye test and, you know, sort of scratch your head and say, man, why do they keep doing this? Why do they keep giving up big pass plays? Why do they go through, you know, a quarter where the offense doesn't move the ball? So it really is both. And that's why, you know, in these final five games, you can really imagine a lot of different scenarios.
Yeah, you could see them pull it out, get into a bowl game, maybe even more than that. Or you could see this thing just dwindle into a really rough season. I guess we'll see. Kevin, what do you got that we can check out at the Colorado one? I know you and I are going to talk for Rams Weekly coming up at 5 o'clock, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, you mentioned the feature on Brig Hartson. Really enjoyed that. Awesome kid. So if you get a chance, hopefully Rears will enjoy that. And then, yeah, I'll just be previewing the game. It's going to be a snow game, it looks like. So a lot going on, and obviously I'll be out there covering. So a really fascinating day coming up Saturday.
Kevin, I'm out this weekend. Our boy Tanner's getting married, and I'm in the wedding. So, you know, there's no turning back. I'm honored to be in it, of course. But if CSU wins and you guys get to go in the locker room again, just, you know, save me a seat. Maybe I'll try to run over there.
I'll just text you a video.
Yeah, just text me a video. That'll be fine. Kevin, my man, we'll talk to you later on Rams Weekly.
You bet. Looking forward to it.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. In 10 minutes until the top of the hour, we'll take a quick break, wrap this one up. I got my big story of the day coming up in the second hour. Jacob Sermon, quarterback for the Bears, and Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. So all that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Interviews and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. The whole show powered by Chevron here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Hey, Kevin mentioned Shields. I mean, he's doing the live read for me. If you guys haven't been to Shields, I don't even have a read that I can give you guys. I'm telling you, it is this wonderful world of magic that I cannot put into words. And I'm a radio guy. I do this for a living. But, I mean, you walk in those doors, they have everything. There's just something about it. It is my favorite store. It's a mall, but only with the great things. I mean, you want your sports gear, you want your for if you get kiddos in high school, junior high, they need gear, you got them. You need your CSU, CU gear, your UNC gear, they got you there too. They have a bowling alley up there at the top floor. They have an arcade. They have a Lego store, hunting section, workout areas where you can get, you know, different equipment for exercise and. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's a sight to see. I could just go in there and not, honestly, I can go in there sometimes and not spend money just looking around and seeing everything. Who am I kidding? I'm always buying something. They got Nuggets gear. Go get your championship Nuggets gear. Get ready for the season. Get ready for the 1-0 Denver Nuggets to go 2-0 tomorrow. Sorry, David Roddy, I got to root against you. I love David Roddy, Angel, I do, but there's a couple times a year I got to go with where my heart is, and I love CSU, and I love DR, but it's in the Nuggets, man. You know, it's about the Nuggets. It's the greater good when it comes to sports. But you got to check out Shields. They'll have you covered. Any thing you need. You're a sports fan. You're a hunter. You're a camper. You're a hiker. Whatever. You're a Legoer. I think that's how you say it. A Legoer. I'll have to ask Michael Kirkpatrick on that one. Second hour of the show coming up next. We got the big story of the day. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.